Hello and welcome back to the journey, my friends. I'm glad you're here for the ride today. Heard somebody tell me this week, which is going to be the topic of today. They said, you know what, if I build this, I want it to get used. And it reminded me of something that I've seen. So today, we get a sports analogy to open up today's episode. This is Scott, your host. Thanks for joining again. Tell a friend for me, and let's get some of the help that we very much need in developing our journey here a little bit better and growing a little bit deeper into the role of the product owner and even just general agile work here and the way that we use this mindset to get things done in a better way. So let's get to this sports analogy that I'm talking about. And pardon me while I get back to my usual self and not script so much like I did in a string of episodes. And you know what I'm talking about. And I know you prefer that anyway. So as you know, I mean, I've probably mentioned this several times that I coach volleyball. And I love working with the players. I love developing the team and getting them to do more than what they think they could have done together, right? And so here's what I saw this week, and it reminded me of something, and I related it here. So I see this volleyball player. She's always on the court hustling, and she makes this great save, right? She hits the floor diving, and you've seen this in other sports too, where somebody makes this great play, this great save, and the teammates aren't really helping her to get it over, right? They just kind of fly around the court and they don't get the ball over the net after this great hustle play was made. Somebody sacrificed their whole body, right? Hitting the floor. Ball pops up to the middle of the court and somebody makes an error or doesn't help getting it over. And you've seen this in other sports too, right? So today, we're going to journey a little bit, keeping that little analogy in mind and using that example. But first, let's do a little housekeeping. We talk a little bit about the art here. Well, a lot about the art, I guess. To use another host's words, mega dittos, thank you for your support and all that. And have I mentioned this yet? No, I haven't. Have you gotten your coffee and tea from JessCoffeeTea.com yet? Have you used the promo code PLANETPO for that 25% off, still for a limited time? Don't wait on that. So go to JestCoffeeTea.com, J-E-S-T, coffee, T-T-E-A.com. Get your order today. So buckle up, sit tight. Let's get to Planet Product Owner. You may know that it's kind of hard for me to speak to the masses, so I really keep things kind of general and stick to thinking patterns here that may work for all of us. So today is not going to be any different than the usual exploration here, I would say. Thinking patterns around what we do and the art of how we get things done is really important to us. It's valuable for us to adopt the thinking patterns because not all organizations are the same. Your work's not the same as mine or theirs or the others. But the basic fundamental thing here I want to cover today is that we do end up with code sitting on a shelf, right? And so that's what I'm kind of talking about. When you see that player hit the floor or you see a player make a great hustle play and they steal the ball and then they pass it over to somebody and somebody blows the shot, right? So we get that. I kind of equate that to code sitting on the shelf. It's like we went through all of that effort and now it's just stuck here and it's sitting. So how can we avoid that from happening? I think bringing it to light and getting some thinking patterns wrapped around this may help us out a little bit. I think this has been a topic that I've had, you know, a few emails on and asking kind of what my thoughts on it. So I hope I can help you try to at least curve that a little bit and try to help curving a little bit and avoid code sitting on the shelf. So go back and listen to the episode. I believe it's called What Kind of Product Owner Are You? You go back to that episode and you'll hear me talk about the idea of writing user stories with a measurable ending. You ask, how do I do that? Well, glad you asked. So here's the thing. You want to think about the outcome that you want out of these stories, right? And so when you're writing stories with some measurable outcome, you're typically relying on some other system to produce that for you. Now, I'm not saying always, but I mean, this is probably the case for a lot of us. There are several different ways that you can measure the outcome of the stories and not just in the way of the business either, right? So you're really thinking about the outcome that you want to have. And I'm not talking about just what meets your definition of done. I'm talking about maybe expanding or exploring your acceptance criteria to think in a way that you can measure the outcome. These kinds of stories, again, maybe not just in the ways of business. If we think about it, we can have acceptance criteria that actually indicates performance times, response times, logins, page loads, all kinds of different non-functional requirements or NFRs. You can also determine analytics like impressions, engagements, clicks, money saved, money earned, money spent, right? Part of this, though, when we're writing these kinds of stories and we're thinking about it in that approach and we're thinking about the outcome, we're starting with a good finish. But we also have to consider, we got to have a shared value system in this too. I'll talk a little bit about that in the next segment. But you can probably think of other ways right now, right, with stories that you and your team are writing or elaborating, and even helping other teams maybe author and come up with while they're doing their collaboration through getting these stories together. Maybe it's architectural runway work. Maybe it's other enablement work. Maybe it's something upstream from you that you're sending, and you want to make sure that you're getting some kind of metrics that can be associated with that outcome. It's going to help you going forward. Maybe that gives you an idea. First thing that comes to mind for you may be, hey, I hear what you're saying. So for example, if I'm waiting on another platform to create the needed routines that calculate the metrics for me, maybe I won't be able to measure it. You're correct, right? Again, so I'm not quite ready for the segue in the next segment, but let's reflect on that for a minute. How much enabler work do you have in front of you that we would normally consider as a predecessor or runway work, right, before you can measure what you're working on? And what about the folks ahead of you, right? They're waiting on you for that work. I'm not talking about work that other teams are currently working on so much with some level of commitment. And then we're owning the risk that, hey, this may or may not be done, right? Because that's kind of part of what we do in the enterprise, you know, exploring and discovering and solving for the unknown. We have some commitments, we have some plans here, and we've got a fist of five up in our PI planning, and we all feel good that we're going to deliver this thing on time. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. I think, you know, you should be getting all of those risks and enable work visualized and socialized and prioritized, all right, in the footprint. And owning that is critical. But what we're really talking about here is existing ways or systems or routines or platforms or whatever you need to ensure that you're able to measure the outcome of your work. And if there's not a commitment there, or it's too risky to even have that like on the table, right? Then why waste the work spent on something you really can't measure? So measuring is a big part of what we do. It's how we learn. And that's the big kick here. If we're not formulating and writing our stories in a way that they can be measured, then there's really no way to manage that outcome either, right, and kind of get the expectations. So that's what we're doing. So this is one reason why code may sit on the shelf. I've seen it before. I've seen it where, you know, maybe we're out there exploring the analytics module or whatever in some kind of system, and that thing's got some big holdup and hiccup there. But the feature is a priority. Well, how do we know that that feature is a priority if we don't have any way to measure it, right? So you've got to be the advocate for that product owner, and you've got to be the one kind of leading the charge on talking about it, having discussion around it, and collaborating with your teams, right? And not just your team, but other teams on your train. So that's one reason why it might sit on the shelf. It may be prevented from going further than where you are, maybe even perhaps like in lower environments, because it won't get fulfilled by the other dependencies. And if it's not fulfilled by the other dependencies, it's kind of like the player who lays their body out on the floor. Nobody expected them to do that. So, like, their reaction was probably slow to getting the ball back over the net, or they didn't realize they would end up with the ball in their hands, and so they quickly rushed a shot and got it up there. Well, we missed the mark, right? We missed the basket. So guess what happens to those other dependencies? Most of the time, if they're not ready to be consumed or utilized or whatever exposed to you and your work, well, they tend to lose priority. So you see kind of how all that works together now. It's not just at the basic level of the story, right? It's not just the basic level of the feature and what outcomes we're looking for. It falls into the realm of priority as well, because if we're unable to deliver those systems or tools or modules or whatever it is or routines that we're trying to measure, if they're just kind of stuck out there in la-la land and they're not getting any traction, they're probably going to lose priority. And if they lose priority, then we lose the ability to measure. So again, reflect on your definition of done. Reflect on your acceptance criteria. Getting a commitment, you know, basically, I mean, and this is a complex world, right? I mean, getting a commitment from the other team is going to be critical in your success, but they don't know what they don't know either. They're exploring the unknown as well in a lot of cases, right? So if the team doesn't respond to the behavior of the one player who throws herself on the court all the time to save the play and get the ball over the net one more time, what did we do with her effort? Well, we wasted it, right? I mean, it was a great play. It was a great try. It was a great effort, but we didn't get the value out of it because we couldn't measure an outcome with that. We couldn't see a result. And this is really what we're trying to defend against. So that's why I recommend looking at your acceptance criteria, your definition of done. What does it mean to be done? And your full stories, right? The full array here. Now, I'm not saying every single story is going to have some kind of metric or measurement behind it, but see if there's a way that you can determine how you're going to measure them from the start. So what we're doing here is we're building in that quality and we're helping to qualify the value up front. And it's going to help you and your enterprise in that outcome that we're looking for if you take this perspective. So any opportunity you can, go out and check and see if you can measure an outcome here. Put some kind of measurable outcome, some kind of metric that you can hang on that story or that set of stories even. All right, that's going to help you out. Hang tight. We'll get to the next segment and talk about another way we can maybe avoid having code sit on the shelf. So you'll see the teams call a timeout. You'll see them huddle in the middle of the court, whatever. Go over to the sidelines, talk to the coach. Think about that as like your scrum of scrums or your share care time, right? What happens if, for example, marketing is not ready to communicate your release? What happens if the vendor is having trouble with the middleware? What if the core system is overburdened and drops the commitment that they once had? Even though it was a priority, it got bumped, right? Because something else went wrong. And we're always going to have that in our world. I know this never happens. What happens if your team's priorities are hijacked in the middle of the sprint or the day of PI planning? All of a sudden, hair's on fire. We got to get this thing done, right? I mean, I know that never happens, right? But for a myriad of reasons, your code can sit on a shelf and not get used. What's maybe worse is that someone else's code sits on the shelf and doesn't get used. See, this is where we as product owners have to be very careful. And we have to think about what kinds of priorities we're pushing. You see, your team pulled the alarm that you had a commitment. Maybe you didn't go and do your homework and do your dive before we went in. You ran into some issues. You got to put that on hold. Well, the other team, they may be completed with their work. So now, what do we have? You guessed it. We got ourselves a dirty front porch, and we don't want a dirty front porch. That other team's going to accuse you of crying wolf when you have the next big thing coming up, right? You get this super big, huge commitment priority. It's the number one priority of the organization. Now what we're doing is we're giving them a reason to push back and not give you the priority that you need and not really give you a lot of weight on that, right? So what we got to do as product owners, we got to get ahead of this. And I've talked about the roadmap before, the vision, the prioritization, the socialization. And a lot of that has to do with sequencing. It's a skill that product owners have to learn. You have to learn how to sequence. Coming soon, I'm going to have some workshops on that, on how to sequence work. I look forward to sharing that with you coming soon. Again, I've already kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit here, but coming soon, we're going to have a lot more journeying, I guess. We've set up the planet, and now it's time to make it civilized. Anyway, solving this issue, really, of having this issue that we're talking about other teams sitting on their code waiting on you because your priority changed, it's easier than we make it to solve for that. It really is. We just make it so hard on each other, and a lot of it boils down to courage, right? But that's kind of one of the, I guess, you know, that's one of the soft skills that you got to have, I guess. I don't know if it's a hard skill or a soft skill. It doesn't matter. But the bigger issue here is how visible is this? And we've been talking a lot lately in circles of mine about visualizing work and how important that is. If it's visible and it's written down, that's how we can avoid most of the issues that we face with code that's sitting on the shelf. However, we still have to have the courage to talk about it, right? That's why we value you know, the interactions, the people in the interactions, right? But protecting the plan is something that many folks kind of disregard because they're too busy and they lose track of it. So how many times have you gone in after a PI planning or after some kind of sprint planning or something? You've come into this and you're like, hey, we've got our heads down. We're working on this work. We're really deep in our work and we're not really working on our work, right? And we just kind of go through the motions and say, yeah, we got to have this by then. We got to have that by then and this thing and that thing. What if that thing just really can't get done by then? Who's courageous enough to step up and say it? So what we have to do as product owners is we have to get a plan together to protect the plan. A plan protection plan, that's the thing. I don't know if that's the thing or not, but you got to be on the lookout for it. You know that there are going to be some balls drop right in the middle of nowhere, but there's one player that's going to dig that up. But you know, you're going to be the good teammate and the good player in this organization, right? But you also have to be that teammate to challenge the ones that are setting the priority to. Ooh. Now, that is where it gets a little sticky for us, right? It's like, wait a minute. I'm not telling them that they're crazy because they've got a priority that's different, you know, that's kind of out of whack here. But, you know, we do have to tactfully help them understand that if it's a value, it is prioritized. And if it's something that we can do, it's something that we should do. It's something that we could commit to doing. Then we have to get a plan to protect not just our team, but the other teams. We don't want that code sitting on the shelf. We said it was a priority, right? So you got to figure out a way that you can protect that plan. And usually you've got a couple of known culprits, right? You know who they are. So, but you know who the good ones are too. You know, you use your alliances that you've built up with your share care time, I hope, to help deter those hijackers of the plan or those folks who come in and reprioritize all your stuff. They're, in fact, probably usually the ones who set the priority to start with. So you have to help them understand what it's going to take. And that's where the sequencing comes into play. It's such a big deal. Now, managers, leaders, if you're the ones on listening in today, welcome, by the way, first. I hope you're learning and growing, too. The team needs help protecting their plan. They need a plan to protect their plan. So be careful in letting them dig those balls up off the floor with only one hand if they've only got their legs tied together too, right? We can't do that. We have to be sure that we're planning properly here and that we're sequencing our work. They're going to get the ball off the ground. They're going to save the play because you said it was a priority. But let's be careful about what is and what's not. So product owners, refine your share care time so we can stay ahead of this. And if you're a leader listening to this, refine your share care time, you know, and let's stay ahead of these kinds of things. Let's visualize the vision and the outcomes that we seek. But most importantly, let's understand the sequencing first. And let's be courageous enough to have the conversations, those difficult conversations, so we can stay ahead of things. Okay. All right. So hang tight for the next segment and we'll talk about another way that we can avoid having code sit on the shelf. To kind of follow up on the previous segment real quick, I maybe didn't spend enough time on sequencing and how important that is. So you're a product owner, you're defending the business, right? And you're defending the customer. You're always an advocate for the customer, but you're also the one who's maximizing the value from the work of the team, right? And so that's kind of in your role too. The sequencing thing is a big deal. And I don't think you're really necessarily ask to be an SME in the development side or in the technical side or how things point together and work together and all that stuff. But you do have to have a sense of basic fundamentals of how your domain is put together, right? So if I've always said this, if I don't know the answer, I'm going to go find somebody that does. So the thinking patterns that I'm trying to share with you today exposes maybe a challenge that you might have. So a challenge that you might have is with the technical architecture and how these things work. What's first, what's second, what's third, what do we have to have before we go to four, right? And so if you don't have that kind of in your tool belt, then I would strongly recommend that you get someone close to you to help you understand that stuff. You know, we got to spend more time on our work, not just in our work. And so we have plenty of time to do this. It's not like we're, you know, most organizations that I've been affiliated with or worked with who are using Scaled Agile Framework or some kind of SAFe model or scaled model like that, they have some kind of big planning session, right? So, I mean, we got time to get ahead of this stuff, okay? But understanding the sequencing is really important for you. So I just wanted to make sure that I reiterated that before I get into the into this segment here. So I talked about the shared value system kind of early on, and what we have to do is we have to develop a sense of enterprise adoption to defend against code sitting on the shelf. And I know maybe I didn't preface it well enough, but code sitting on the shelf is effort that we've put into doing something that we thought was of value, but we never get it out the door to the customer. And that's where we really measure the value, right? So if it's just sitting on the shelf, we're not getting credit for the work. I mean, that's senseless. You shouldn't be getting credit for the work that you have in an environment somewhere that's flipped off or turned off or switched off because we're not delivering it to the customer. There's no credit in that, right? We want to make our efforts worthwhile. So if it is a priority, it is a priority, right? And yeah, priorities change, but not when you're almost at completion of whatever you're working on, at least not in most cases. Some cases, sure, I see it. We had a last minute epiphany about some risk that we just found out about, and we got to go do it. Maybe security, maybe compliance, maybe performance, right? I get that. But if it's a priority, it's a priority. And so when the priority changes and we're almost done with it, that's certainly, you know, something, you know, unless there's some drastic change in the market or whatever we forecast or anticipated, that may be an option. But we also have to consider that if we've made it a priority for this, then we've made it a priority for all of the systems that are involved, all of the teams that are involved. It can't be just one team, right? Especially if you're in a scaled agile world. There's runway work, there's technical enablement work, there's after production stuff, there's, you know, .com, there's marketing, there's communications, there's all of this other thing going on, right? And so if our focus is in that, then why would we let the architectural runway stuff drop? Why would we let that routine that we were trying to develop to get the logic straightened out, why would we let something else get in the way of that if we knew that this was a priority? Right. So we got to be real careful about that. And again, courageous product owners are going to have the conversations. Sequencing, understanding sequencing is going to help you with that. So believe me, I've been on the situation like night before a drop, wake up in a sweat because I dreamed about this relationship in the database being mixed up or something and we needed to refactor it, you know. And, you know, usually this happens when you're doing some very rapid development mission. Right. But in all, as an organization, as an enterprise, we got to learn how to defend against those things. And so you have to ask yourselves and honestly answer, like upfront, okay, I think I get the sequencing thing, but now that I have that, what's going to make this fail? Why would this not be adopted? All right? Why would this not be used? Why? Where are we wrong in our theory or our hypothesis that we're going to move the needle, right, by doing this? What will we measure? How will we measure it? Are we hitting the mark? See, when you start having those kinds of conversations, it's about the shared value system that you have as an organization, and it's driven by the Agile Manifesto, at least I hope it is. If you're doing that in story elaboration or sprint planning, particularly in a large or medium-sized organization, you know, we got to be real careful, right? If we're not finding that thing out early, right? If we don't understand what the value is early, what our theory is, what our hypothesis is early, and it's an important part of what we're doing and why we're doing it. If you're just now coming to the table in sprint planning and say, oh, well, I think we can measure it like this, or, you know, even worse, it's like, you know, so how will we know if somebody's going to adopt this or not? If you're just now doing that in sprint planning, you've missed the mark, right? Just like the product owner seeing the stories only at demo or review, right? We don't want that to happen either. So roadmapping these larger bodies of work with dependencies and the sequencing of it is critical to the success of this and to keep code rolling to the users and to the customers. At the end of the day, that's what we're doing. We're delivering value with quality to our customers, and that's how we find the value. And this could be internal or external, I might add. So the important takeaway is, even if it's by committee and we're planning, we have to formulate the proper planning up front. But we're agile, right? We don't follow a plan. We don't plan because we're agile. I remind you of the values, like responding to changeover, following a plan. The word over is important here. We probably plan more in an agile mindset, an agile methodology, than we do anywhere else because we're continually learning and adapting. So there's always a plan, right? I mean, you got to have a plan. You can't just extract one value and place it higher than the others because value two says we value working software over comprehensive documentation. So if we value working software over all that other stuff, we have to defend against it as an enterprise with courage, right? So let's land this plane, get off this crazy, crazy planet today. What happens to the performance of that player who always seems to go the extra mile, but the teammates leave her kind of hanging out to dry? Was she going to continue to perform at that level for a long time with that group? Will she be overcome with frustration? Maybe one day just stop kind of throwing her body all over the floor for this particular team. Probably willing to do it again, but maybe not with this group. Maybe with another team, right? The point is that you got folks out there, you're asking them to produce this code because the world's on fire and it's your number one priority. Well, how long are they going to keep doing that? I think you know where I'm going here. So the efforts are valuable because you want to keep that front porch clean. And so does everybody else, and for that matter. And you want to produce in a way that goes above and beyond, but you really want to get the team to respond and get the payback for the effort. So if you're causing other teams to leave their code on the shelf, or you're causing your team to leave code on the shelf, and we're not getting into our users, that's our game-winning trophy, right, is getting it out there. So think about those teams being hung out to dry if you're in the situation. They're probably really valuable players for the organization, too, and we don't want them to underperform. We don't want them to go out and just join another team. So let's help them by getting their code off the shelf and in the hands of the users as well. So everybody's got to do their part, right? Just focus on getting the ball over the net one more time, right? Just get the ball over the net one more time. Hey, look, thank you for joining today. Tell a friend. Big things are coming really, really soon. I won't give you a launch date yet, but I know there's some exciting things that you're definitely going to want to be a part of as an early adopter for sure. Do me a favor, share the podcast with at least 3 people this week. All right. A lot of people ask me, how could I ever repay you? You know, you could repay me by telling at least 3 people who don't know about Planet Product Owner. Tell them about it. I don't market this at all. You guys know that. It's all word of mouth. You guys have been great. Ask them to listen in on some of the episodes, but look, do me a favor and probably your favorite episodes and preferably those with better audio would help. I want to grow this community organically. Because I strongly believe that this community who's listening in here are creators as well. And coming soon, we're going to have a big opportunity to be able to create together, share together, collaborate together, and everybody enjoy that success of helping others learn. So the success of this has been because of you and that you're finding value in it and you're telling your folks about it. So go tell more folks. Until next time, have a safe and fun lean journey, my friends.